This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program. Now is the time to create your dream business, and Jim Palmer is the perfect business coach to help you get that done. Jim offers three different coaching programs, and as a member of his mastermind group, you'll also benefit from the advice, wisdom, and inspiration of other successful entrepreneurs. This is a group of action takers, so if you're tired of slow to no growth and are ready to finally grow your dream business, go to www.dreambizcoaching.com. That's www.dreambizcoaching.com.
Hey friends, this is James Malinchak, featured on ABC's hit TV show Secret Millionaire and founder of BigMoneySpeaker.com, and you are listening to my good friend Jim Palmer on Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more, and those are always great things in your business. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm really excited about this week's show, folks, because my special guest is David Brown. He's got quite a long career as an entrepreneur, and he's been doing different things, kind of a more in the brick-and-mortar side. So let me tell you a little bit about David, and we'll get engaged in a good conversation for you all. During David's 25-year career in insurance, he learned firsthand the challenges of running a small business, including the number one reason businesses fail, which is failure to understand their markets and their customers' buying habits. David became a student of marketing and knocked it out of the park with his first campaign, which brought in 20% more revenue. When fellow agents started seeing the results, they said, "Hey, David, basically, could you teach us this stuff? How'd you do that?" That led him to write his first book, From the Bottom Up, The Ultimate Guide for Business Planning to Profitability. In 2012, David left the insurance business and started his own consulting business, D. Brown & Company, pursuing his passion of marketing and helping others achieve higher levels of success. David is a firm believer in serving his community. He became a member of a volunteer board of directors for a community health center in 1987 and worked his way up the ladder, becoming president of the board of directors for nearly 20 years. During his tenure, the organization grew from a small health center to four locations in two countries with a budget of $11 million. He was elected president of the Michigan Primary Care Association for two terms. He also served on the board of directors for the National Association of Community Health Centers. David's work has earned him several awards from both the state and national associations, and as his book title said, David knows what it's like to learn from the bottom up, from starting a business to being the president of a multi-million-dollar organization. He is a consummate professional. He's a heck of a nice guy. We connected first at an event called the Ultimate Mastermind Summit, and it's just a real pleasure to interview David. How you doing, David? Thanks for being on my show this week.
Doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me on the show. I greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure, and I thank you for sending me a copy of your book after we met in Chicago. And you know, I appreciate anybody that actually takes the time and writes a book. Because you know, a lot of people say I got a book in me, and I think I can help people. But you know, the amount of people that actually get it done is very small. So congratulations on being an action taker. David, I get to interview a lot of different folks. Admittedly, a lot of them are in the kind of the online entrepreneur world. So I always love connecting with a guy who's got brick and mortar experience like myself. I've got 25 plus years in retail and franchise development, franchise management. So I figure we can compare some notes. There's so many things to learn when you listen to people who are in different industries and figure out what works for them and see if there's any way that you can make it work for you in your industry. So let's have a good old conversation and see if we can't spread a few nuggets to the listeners. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right, so David, first of all, give us a little background. I kind of read your bio there, but give us a little background. Give us kind of the 411 of, you know, how you got started. I know you spent 25 years in the insurance business, so give everybody kind of a little thumbnail of who David is and how you got to where you are today.
Well, back in 86, I worked in a factory. We went on strike, and times were tough trying to find a new job, and so all of a sudden I answered an ad in the newspaper. It says, we're looking for insurance agents. One thing led to another. 25 years later, I decided to move on from that career. But it was a big switch, making that change from an employee to an entrepreneur, and then again leaving it early on in 2012 and opening up another business to do on. So I've actually done it twice where you left somewhat of a corporate employment status and started on my own. But I just enjoy helping people and making their businesses grow with the best help I can do and point them in the right direction.
So what is it that you do to so you spent? So you left the one kind of corporate gig and then spent 25 years in a career after answering an ad. So you spent 25 years in the insurance business. Did you have many different positions? Did you kind of start entry level, move your way up? Were you always in sales? How did you get into marketing?
Well, I was as an insurance agent, which is what I did for that 25 years, you were responsible for building your own business. We
right.
were basically a franchise of the company. So we were worked for one company. So you had all the expenses of an office and staff. So you had to figure out how to bring in new customers. So I started doing a lot of studying. Some, you know, learn the hard way that things don't work the way we want. The company would bring in speakers, try to help us, and that's when I met Tony Rubleski and studied his marketing and the people that he was associated with and their information. They put out their books and CDs and stuff. And so I started studying that early in the 90s when his, Tony's first book came out. It got me intrigued, and so I wanted to delve more into the marketing aspect and employing the things that I learned along the way helped me grow my insurance practice to where
so
point
David,
where
if I can interrupt you real quick, I just want to make a clarifying thing. And by the way, Tony's a great guy. He's been in my coaching program like 3 years now. But do you mean if somebody wants to get into the insurance business, you can't just rent an office, hang out your shingle, and new clients are going to beat a path to your door? I mean, that's not reality?
Oh, I wish it was only that easy. And especially, I've moved three times over that 25 years to different locations. And the last move is when we did a campaign that, based on all the information that I've learned. And so I put together a marketing campaign trying to figure out, hey, we're new in the neighborhood. We haven't had an office down this way. How are we going to get the word out? And so we sat through there, my staff and I, and we put together a postcard mailer, mailed that thing out. We went to a half-mile radius of the office, mailing out to every subdivision and street that we could come up with on our list brokers. And about that time that was going to hit, we put a billboard up for a month. So everybody got the same message on that postcard as we had on the billboard. And you always know you hit big time when you know, friends and family start picking on you for what you do. But when the pastor of the church starts harassing you, you know you've made it.
There you go. Oh, goodness.
My billboard was strategically placed about a quarter mile from the office, and it was next to a gas station. So you're pumping gas, you know, you're looking around, you look up, and there's me looking down at you. And the pastor says, you know, I'm always used to God looking down on me, but not the insurance guy.
Oh, that's great. That's great positioning right there, too, you know.
Oh, it worked out beautifully. And because of that marketing, using the different media that I learned about, that first sale we made off of that postcard and billboard paid for all of it. And so I had a quick return on investment. And so from that point on, these other folks that I started working with, some of the newer guys, how are you doing it? And so that's how I began sharing the marketing story with all these new folks.
Were you connected by way of, you don't have to say the company, but by way of the company that you represented, were you connected with other agents around, you know, kind of your territory, and they were watching you grow? Is that how it initially started with kind of the mentoring?
Yes, because being one company, they sent out production standards for their various contests, so you knew how you were comparing to your other colleagues. And so they were watching my numbers start to, here's Dave jumping up this list of production, and they said, "All right, what are you doing, and how are you doing it? How can you help me?" So we shared some of the wisdom that we've learned over the years from all the people that we've read and talked to and studied. That they started to do the same thing.
So, so before you closed the insurance and became a full-time, you know, marketing and business consultant, you did help a number of people, other insurance agents and things like that. So you were kind of, you were on a parallel track. One is growing your own practice or business, and then the other one is helping other insurance agents. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, we they just, some of them were just starting out and say, you know, well, how do we break into this? Because everything was self-funded out of pocket, being self-employed. So they wanted the biggest return for their dollar. So we sat down and figured out, because they were located in different areas of the county here. And so let's just sit down and figure out who you're going after and put out their natural markets and best way to reach them. And so then they started taking off and made the some of the lists that the company would put out for standards that they wanted. And they were happy, and I was happy because I could watch them grow as a kind of a student mentor of mine.
Yeah. So I'm guessing of the two tracks you're running on, selling insurance started to look a little less enjoyable, and helping others grow was really the path that you chose to go full time on.
Correct. Yep. I just enjoyed helping people and seeing them grow their business, and I said, you know, a lot less stress. And so this was we decided just to do this full time now.
Now, you describe yourself as an average Joe, and I think, you know, that comes across just hearing you talk. One of the big success stories, because you started like in 2012 doing the consulting full time, but you told me that there was a veterinarian that you helped. Can you tell us a little bit about that story?
Yeah, some friends of ours, his wife was interested in opening up a specialty veterinarian practice strictly for cats. And she had wrote her business plan and asked me to look at it, so I'm reading through it, and we started asking her about, you know, how she's going to market this, and that's where she asked me for help. So we laid out a plan, put together you know, what she's looking for, not just cats, but she had worked in another practice in another city dealing with strictly cats. So I started asking her what her clientele looked like, you know, what were the age groups, income levels, or things like that she's seen in her other position. And so we targeted those. So what we did is I put together a list through a broker that we wanted somebody that owned a cat, subscribed to cat magazines, and had an income above $35,000. So what I went back and ran a list from within 5 miles of her office, and we had 1,000 names on that list.
Wow.
Right here in her backyard. And just for comparison's sake, ran a list at 20 miles out, which is still a small number because we drive all over for professionals to go see them, doctors, lawyers, whatever. So I said, 20 miles is not that bad. So I ran that list, and that list went from 1,000 to 25,000. So I said,
that's huge.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. And I'm sitting there, my mouth hit the table when I got the totals on this. So she started her implementing this marketing campaign. We laid out some mailers and some social media, some basically rolling billboards and different ideas. And her first year in business, she exceeded her revenue goal by 20%.
Wow.
And she's on track.
She's pretty happy.
Oh, she's happy as a lark. And she's on track to do that or better her second year.
That's awesome.
And so she was very pleased with some of the work that we've done.
That's awesome. David, let me ask you about your book, From the Bottom Up. What What was your decision to write that book? What kind of brought you to that decision?
Well, it started back to the mentoring process. The company that we worked for says we want a formal business plan from every agent. Well, I had always done an informal plan, as I like to refer to. I had all the pieces, they just weren't put together. And some of the new agents come to me and says, you know, we got to write this. How do we do it? What do I do? So as we sat there talking, I just started asking them some directed questions about what they've seen their business doing and how they want to grow it. And they said, yeah, but what do we do? I said, just write down what you just told me, because that's your business plan. And both of them looked at me and says, you ought to be teaching this stuff. And that was one of those aha moments. Well, you know, I can write a book. So I started writing a book, putting pen to paper, and about a year and a half to 2 years later, we have a book in hand.
There you go. And so give us an idea. How did you distribute that book?
Basically, went through some of the small business associations, different people that dealt with new start businesses. It's in the libraries. I donated some to the public library system. It's available online at Barnes & Noble's, Amazon. Even went to the e-reader programs and got that set up. But I just continue to work through chambers, small business groups that all work through that. And word of mouth is really starting to take off, and so we're picking up new clients because of word of mouth and what we do because it's in the print. They've got a workbook to follow, and it seems to be picking up steam.
Why do you think a small business needs a business plan, David? I know a lot of entrepreneurs, I've been working for them my whole life and before I started my own entrepreneurial journey, and so many of them I know are kind of shoot from the hip type of people, you know, make a decision. Like you, I've served on nonprofit boards, which I actually found, I knew it was something I wanted to do, but I found it quite frustrating because some meetings we'd be at, we'd be half an hour discussing whether there should be a comma after a certain word in the mission statement. And I'm thinking to myself, I could start a business in the time we're making these decisions. So, you know, the life of an entrepreneur, the mindset of an entrepreneur is quite different from that of a corporate or even some small business owners. But why do you think it's a good idea, whether you're an entrepreneur or a small business owner, to actually have a business plan?
One of the things I've just discovered talking to some new starts at some functions I was at was their business plan right now basically boils down to how am I going to pay the rent in the utilities this month? So they're basically, like you say, shooting from the hip. And found out, you know, most people will spend more time planning their vacation than they will their business. But they have to have something to follow. If you don't have a guide to follow you along the path that you're going to take, it's very hard to get where you're going. You know, we all want to be successful, but what's your definition of success and what steps do you want to take to get there? And what I found in all over my career is if I've got a plan, I can hand that off to a staff member to implement 90% of that, allow me to get out in front of people, but they have to know what to do. And we all have to have something to keep us on track, especially when we get to a downturn period in the business. So it gives you that path to follow, and people want to know what you're going to do, especially if you got to go get money or find some investment to keep you going. The bank's going to want to look at a business plan to see how you're going to repay that note. And so we tried to explain to people that, you know, this is a step-by-step guide and process of what you're going to do to become successful.
David, do you actually help people put those plans together? I mean, is that part of your consulting practice?
Yes. What I've done is on my website, there's a free download. You fill out, give me your name and email, and it'll come to me, and I will send you a planning guide. Is fill in the blank for a step-by-step business plan.
Oh, wow.
And one of the things that I'm doing now is people will email me that completed document, and I will compile it for them into a workable plan.
That's awesome. What you said something, I think, earlier about hidden money. What do you mean by hidden money?
Well, and it's like with the vet, most people don't realize what we have in our own backyards. You know, we're thinking this great big marketing thing. We got to go out and do all this. But sometimes it doesn't take any much looking other than, you know, what's right around in our immediate area. There's a lot of business there that we look over trying to get to the big thing. So trying to help people identify what's close at hand. It might be a beautiful market that nobody's touched because it doesn't seem like there's anything there. So we uncover those markets that are right in our own backyard.
That's great. Do you help people figure, you know, one of the things I do a lot with folks is tell them what else, which means telling your customers, your existing people that have already proven they know, like, and trust you because they've given you money, and showing them the other product services that you offer. Do you help people with that as well?
One of the things that we're doing is trying to help folks, our clients, that have employees, train the employees how to implement this plan. You know, so many times we don't have time to or want to take the time because there's always 15,000 things that we have to do as an entrepreneur to help other people, bring them up to speed on how to implement this plan and some things that work that they can do it in a staff can do it a couple hours a week.
Well, let's talk about that real quick. We're starting to run short on time, but one of the greatest challenges I find entrepreneurs have is the ability to release and let go. You know, they know things need to be done, but they're so sure that they can do it better, faster, cheaper, and so they struggle with actually delegating some of these things so they can focus their own time on high revenue generating activities. Do you find that also, and do you work with your consultant clients on that?
Yes, I was one of those. When I always wanted to have my hands on everything, and it took so much time away that I finally realized that I've got to give this to somebody else. And because you've brought people you trust to work for you, you got to let them have the empowerment to carry out the work that you want done and trust that it'll get done. It's a big switch for entrepreneurs, and a lot of us don't want to let go, like you said, but trying to work with them and coach them into, yeah, you've got this person here that knows how to do this probably better than you do when it comes to, like, say, social media, because they're in their 20s. You know, me as a baby boomer, I struggle through it, but I do it, and I can, one of my kids' age, say, hey, you know, would you do this? I had a young lady that's what she did was all the marketing stuff for me. I said, here's my plan. Here's what we're going to do. Here's the money. You go do it. And trying to get people to realize that is tough, but we just got to keep working with them to explain to them that they got to concentrate on what brings in the dollars, not doing the paperwork.
Yeah. So my last question, David, is this. Suppose somebody in the insurance, just go with a industry you're obviously have a lot of experience in, said, hey, David, I've been, you know, my business is just sucking wind right now. I'm really struggling. We've been in business, say, 5 years. You know, what are the top one or two things that I could do to bring in more revenue? Is that too much of a big question, or can you take a shot at that?
I can take a quick shot at that. Basically, the first thing we do is identify who are you going after? What is your preferred market? Sometimes we as entrepreneurs, we think everybody is our client. And we try to spend so much time in the big picture that we forget to narrow down to a niche market. And I see that a lot of times in all industries. But again, I was guilty. I learned it the hard way. So what I do is try to show people that, hey, if we focus on leading-edge baby boomers, now we're looking at long-term care and things like that, and how do we best achieve that? You know, they're not the ones that are on Twitter or Facebook a lot. We have to resort back to newsletters or letters or, you know, sales letters and things like that. It's identifying the preferred client and what product we're going after with that client and what's the best way to reach them.
Okay.
It's where we usually start.
That's a good place to start. Hey, David, I'm sure some people are going to want to connect with you, learn more about you, how to get your book and things like that. What's a good website where you can send them to?
Okay, right now you can go to theaveragejoebiz.com. and that'll take you to the website. And off the website, there's a link to Amazon for the book. And there's also, as I mentioned earlier, there is a spot to fill in your name and email, and we'll send you the planning guide that tracks right with the book. You fill in the blanks, and it puts all the information that you may not have thought of in one spot to build that plan. And if you want some help, email me. At the end of every chapter in the book is my email address, so you don't have to look if you got a question. And I'm accessible. And so I try to make myself available to people that have questions on how to build their plan.
Awesome. Hey, David, thanks very much. It was a great pleasure meeting you a couple of months ago, and I'm glad we connected, and thank you for sharing some of your expertise with my audience today.
Well, Jim, I greatly appreciate it. And again, I enjoyed the time we spent together, got to know each other in Chicago, and look forward to a long time in the future working together.
Awesome. Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with the author, David Brown. He is known as the Average Joe, and I'd highly suggest connecting with him, especially if you're in the insurance business, but he's obviously got some knowledge that covers a lot of different areas. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Those are, again, always great things. I don't care what your business is. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. Until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.